Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Almost one in three female surgeons working in the NHS have been sexually assaulted in the last 5 years. That's according to a survey that's been published in the British Journal of Surgery. Almost 90% of women surveyed said they'd witnessed sexual misconduct in the past 5 years, with 81% of men giving the same answer. Google takes on the biggest antitrust trial in decades today in the US. Over the next 10 weeks, federal lawyers will try to prove that Google rigged the market in its favour by locking its search engine in as the default choice on certain devices. Scotland and England will mark 150 years of footballing rivalry when they face each other for the 116th time tonight. Scotland's manager Steve Clarke's side go into the game on a high, having won 11 qualifying matches in a row. And a £6 million artwork by Banksy has been lifted by a crane into a new exhibition in London. The mural's called Valentine's Day Mascara. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Sophia Lewis-Hobbs.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £70 million.
Oh, that calls for a dance, Dermot. Do you know the robot?
I'm a little rusty.
You've still got it?
Never lost it.
You're a machine!
Get that Euro Millions feeling tonight. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Emmanuel Eko. The early signs of a heart attack can vary. The most common include squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, and a sense that something just isn't right. It can be easy to dismiss the early signs of a heart attack, as the symptoms don't always feel severe. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
This is Colorful Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone that you are listening to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus, and I'm your host, Julius Baluto. It's a wonderful day again, and as we focus our big, big global torch on the continent of Africa, this day we are going to Gabon. Gabon happens to be a great country, extremely rich country with oil, making a lot of money, but people remaining poor. So this country, Gabon, has not been too much talked about previously. It was somewhere like out of the mainstream. You know, when we talked about Burkina Faso, Mali, we talked about Niger, we talked about all these countries. It remained quiet. But was it for the good? Gabon happened to be ruled by a one-family dynasty. And we are talking about since independence. For over 56 years, it's been a one-family business. The father, Omar Bongo, ruled from 1967 all the way to 2009. His son, the current president, who was ousted, who was toppled by the military, Ali Bongo, has been in power since 2009 to today, 2023. And of course, the rest is history. We know he was overthrown by the military, and we know as we speak, he's still under house arrest. A lot has happened. We've seen on clips him beckoning or calling the rest of the world to shout for his release. But to explore these issues further, I'm joined by a great friend of mine, Emmanuel Orufi. He's an editor and also a journalist. Welcome to the show, Emmanuel. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, Julius. Thank you for having me.
Great. I know when we talked last, we were thinking about Niger and the coup. Now, we thought Niger was the latest. We called Niger the newest kid in the block of countries that have been overthrown, military has taken over. But actually, we never foresaw Gabon coming to join. So what's your take since last time we talked about Niger? Now we are in Gabon.
Thank you very much. It came as a shock from the blues. We're expecting Gabon. All the while, we're concentrated on Niger Republic, Mali, Chad, Burkina Faso, those are that Sahel region. And just Wednesday, we have this shocking news. Somehow, Gabon has been a bit stable, but doesn't mean that they have been the citizens have been enjoying the show. You have a family ruling the country since 1967, Omar Bongo. Omar Bongo came to power in 1967, 7 years after the country got independence. And after Omar Bongo, he died of cancer in Spain. That's number nine, and then the son took over. And for 14 years, Ali Bongo had been the president of the country. Just one family. So you look at the whole scenario, you may think the country is stable. Is it? Until this military rule or this military intervention has taken place in Africa, we didn't know that people will come out en masse to come and rejoice. So which means that people have been suffering. You can see the mass enthusiasm by the citizens, people carrying the man outside General Brice Oligui Nguema. I mean, they were celebrating. They were saying, oh, this is our president. They use the word president. But again, let's take a closer look at what's happening in Gabon. Who is Nguema? Nguema has been, ruling with, he has been part of the ruling elite in the company. In the country. It's that time. They are part and parcel, same people, same ruling elite. So the people are just happy that the ruling family, Bongo, is gone. All the Bongo family is gone. These people have looted the country. And now you now have Nguema. And I want to begin to think, where is that? Is this a palace coup or what? Is there a difference between Ubongo and Nguema? This is a part of this, they are cousins anyway. They are this part of the same family. Only that something is a palace coup. Something was about to take place, just as we saw in Niger, Mali, and then this kind of palace coup. So it's a change. It's a change of guard. But are we going to civilian rule? Because we know there was an election. There was an election in Gabon, and they never brought any observer. There was no European observer. Nobody observed that election. And suddenly, the man wants his 4% of the vote. How come? Nobody observed the result. Nobody checked what is happening. And there was the public anger. Somebody have to do something, and that was the ministry. So I think that's why the people are happy. So the happiness, where we see Niger, people were happy on the street. It means that they have been discontent over the years, but nobody is there to express it. You know, military rule, civilian coup. What is a coup? A president or somebody or a ruling elite is overthrown because of certain discrepancies. But we also have civilian coup too. Apart from military coup, we have civilian coup. When you elongate your power, distort the constitution, prolong your stay in power, it's a coup. Yes, it's a coup. So we have different types of coup. We have civilian coup, we have military coup, but it depends on what happened to bring about this coup. So that's where we are in Gabon. People are happy. We have a ruling family that have been there for years. They were embezzled. They took so much money. They looted the treasury and all kinds of things. So, well, what do we think about? Is this a coup or a palace coup?
Oh, well, yeah, indeed. Those are the key questions. Emmanuel, this happens to be the eighth coup in West Africa in the last 3 years. And of course, the pattern has come across. We see any country, whether it was in Mali, whether it was Niger, we're seeing them quickly trying to be very determined to see the French troops leave. Do you think the French hold on these former colonies could be a contributing factor to these coups? Of course, we know in the case of Gabon, perhaps the dynasty, the rule by one family, was an obvious factor. But do you think, like we have seen right now in Gabon, the city Libreville, we've seen also people protesting in front of the French troops, calling them to go. Do you think all these countries, the French hold on to the former colonies, could be a factor?
Yes, it's a factor, really. It's a factor. I think the French rule is coming to an end. Now, here we have French West Africa with about 7 countries or so that take over a vast swath of West Africa. The French took the largest land space in West Africa during the colonial rule. And since 1960, most of them got independence. But was it independence, really? I don't think there was independence from many of us. What you call independence, meaning that when you have independence, meaning that you have caught, so that means the sway of France supposed to be over. But it became more institutionalized since 1967. And I think we look at the French rule, the policy of assimilation, where you assimilate the people economically, socially, financially, and politically. Most of these French West Africa, they are reserved, foreign reserved, right, in France. And can I tell you for free that most of the debts owned, colonial debts owned by French West Africa, they are still being paid today. So French hold in West Africa is coming to an end. But taking a look again at Gabon, the same old elite in Gabon taking over power. So what are we expecting? Don't forget, about a few weeks ago, Ali Bongo was celebrating his father's rule in France, and there was jubilation, although they tried to beat them up. So the French hold is still there. How they are going to look at what happened in Niger? The ambassador was supposed to be expelled from France, but they refused to go. But we all know that we all know that French colonial or neo-colonial rule in West Africa is coming to an end. There's serious resentment. Okay, let me tell you what President Omar Bongo. He has 39 properties all over the world. You have 70 bank accounts. You have 9 luxury cars. You have properties in Nice, in France. He lives in Paris. There are some properties he owned. They are even rotting away. Nobody lives there. You have security guards there. Nobody lives in those properties. There's colonial plunder or neo-colonial plunder of West Africa. Two points by France. So France have been abetting these rulers for a long time. So, the citizens are happy that at least this ruler, this is not going to be the end. We still have Cameroon there. We still have Gweso. The Gwesos of this world are still there. And then we have other countries under French rule. They are still by the corner, and I predict they will fall. But I think with Gabon, after 56 years of rule, I think French rule is beginning to win, and it will go further.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Yeah, and what do you make of the rule by these seven family? Because as you explained earlier, the genome you say is related to the Bongos, and there's another factor. I saw this daughter of Ali Bongo congratulating Guema, which comes across as very interesting, because you would have thought naturally she would be on the side of the father, but she was congratulating the military leader who took over power. So are we having a situation like in Zimbabwe where some time back when we saw Robert Mugabe go and he was replaced by current President Mnangagwa, but they were in the same regime?
It's all part of the palace coup I'm talking about. How can a coup take place in Gabon and the sister of the president is congratulating the coupist those who plan the coup, Guema and Co., which is meaning that there is something behind it. Either the coup was planned by the wife of Ali Bongo, somebody, in collaboration with the sister, because it doesn't happen. That is strange. So we are going to see a kind of extension of the Ali Bongo's rule somehow. But you see, he was crying out that people should make noise.
Yeah, and he didn't specify what kind of noise.
What noise we making? Is it that?
I meant some noise. I just whistled.
Just
whistled my favorite song.
People should make noise. Why? He said he doesn't know what is happening.
Yeah,
he said he doesn't know what's happening, and yeah. If the sister is congratulating the daughter, then there's something behind the scene. Must be a palace coup, because the Guema has profited much from the regime. He's also a millionaire too. He has so many properties in France, all over the place, just as the ruling family. So what are we talking about? It's just a change of musical chairs. And until things begin to unfold in the following days and weeks, we will not be able to see what is happening, whether the pattern will be the same as that of Niger. But it's almost the same, presidential head of the presidential guard. And very trusted man, very trusted. Now, because of this trust, you can see the ripple effect in Rwanda. Kigami, you see what Kigami did a few days ago to restructure the army there, retiring almost 83 or more army generals. And also how it's happened in Cameroon for Bia. And also in Nigeria, there was a ripple effect with the head of the army warning the soldiers to be loyal to the President Tinubu. But is that supposed to be so? The soldiers are supposed to respect the constitution, not to be loyal to one person. Soldiers are employed or trained to defend the territorial integrity of the country, not just one person. So the ripple effect is all over right now. And so what is happening in Gabon is, to me, it's a parallel school. But I think people are beginning to be happy with Gabon. How many people do we have in Gabon? 2.5 million people. The rest are made up of plantations and reserve, forest reserve. Very rich country. Very rich country. Rich, small country. So there's a correlation between what happened in Zimbabwe, a coup by Mangawa, by the president
Mnangagwa,
who overthrew Zimbabwe, former Zimbabwe ruler.
And they told us it was a coup. That was not a coup.
He said it was a coup. Was that a coup? The same palace coup. The same thing that is manifesting in the Gabon. So, and then he did another election recently, and he called it an election. So some of these elections in Africa need to be taken with some form of equanimity, because you see election in Gabon where there was no observer, and then you just install yourself as a president. Mnangagwa is the same thing in Zimbabwe, and there's unrest in most parts of Africa. There's unrest, only that we're not seeing it. It's going to explode very soon in other countries.
Yeah. When you look into the dynamics of, or rather development of what's going on in terms of how many countries have experienced coups now, you talk about Niger, talk about Burkina Faso, and also which other countries? Almost six countries now. And it looks like a pattern. Do you think it's a pattern? And what is that pattern telling us? And as you rightly put it, we have seen jittery, knee-jerk reactions of countries like Cameroon, reshuffling their military in fear. And of course, we've seen Rwanda as well. Should Museveni also reshuffle his military?
Museveni is high time. His cup is full. It's high time he should go, because that's 42 years in power. Museveni, he wants to install his son as the next president. It's a pattern. This kind of look at the case of Togo, the Yadema dynasty is still there. Cameroon dynasty is still there, Pobia is still there. And we have other Ubuso, you have Guinea Bissau, Equatorial Guinea. And so they are still there. It's going to be a pattern. Do you forget the Arab Spring? You remember the Arab Spring?
Yeah.
A little protest in Tunisia spread all over North Africa. This is how it's going to happen in West Africa. Don't forget that Gabon wanted to join the West ECOWAS. Now we don't know how that will play out. But the pattern is going to be like, if you continue, even if these countries continue to reshuffle their army, retire all the army generals or reshuffle them, there's still going to be unrest. People are very, very unhappy. Take a look at Pobia. Pobia has been in power since 1982. And he doesn't live in Cameroon. He doesn't live beyond. He lives in Paris. He lives in Switzerland. And his health is failing. And then you have a country being ruled by proxy, by the family. I mean, how long would that be? How long with people of Cameroon? And you have insurrection in the Abyssinia in Cameroon. How long would that be? So most of these things will come to an end. Bad rulership doesn't last forever. Even Stalin of Russia, from 1924 to 1952, 1953, he died. The man died. So what are we talking about? For this thing doesn't last forever. They will die one day, and there will be Africa will. But Africa need to wake up. We can't continue to have this kind of rule. Even apart from military, just as I've said, you don't even need military intervention. The civilians, the process of election is the cause of it. The process of election in Africa, whereby elections are not free and fair. The civilian people, the people who cast their vote, they cast their vote, and after casting their vote, and the president will say, at La Vista, see you in 4 years' time. You don't hear from the civilian. There's no involvement by the civilian people. There's no participation. Civilians who cast the vote, who elected them to power, you don't hear from them. They don't involve them in decision making. So they are just there, passive, for 4 years. Then another 4 years, this politician will come again, vote for me, take some money here and there. And then they get to power again. And for civilian rule, for a civilian population that is weak, illiterate, like in the case of Niger, 37% of illiteracy, same with Gabon. Now, it is now left for the president to tamper with the constitution. That is a coup. When you know you're supposed to go in 4 years or 8 years, and you say, oh, I need to continue. You will now tamper with the constitution. Yes, it has happened in Cameroon, it has happened in Gabon, it has happened in other places. It was supposed to happen in Nigeria. That is a coup. So it is not just military intervention that is coup. You also have civilian coup orchestrated by civilian rulers. And that is where we need to look at. Process of election is very important. The process of free, Africa needs free and fair elections. That will make the people happier. Then they also need the dividends of democracy. What is democracy? Free speech, human rights, and development of infrastructure, roads, water. If these things are not there, people are not happy. How can it do? We've been in government for 16 years in Nigeria. We have PDP for 16 years. We don't have good roads. We don't have good water to drink. So people are angry. So those are the predisposing factors for coups and unrest.
Yeah, indeed, I agree with you on that because rigged elections, weak democratic institutions, and I say weak is because in some countries in Africa, you see the president is the one who appoints all judges. It's the president also who appoints the electoral chair, the guy who will oversee the elections. And immediately you ask yourself, if the president is also vying, he's a competitor, what happens if he rigged the election? Can you take that president to court? He already has the chairman he appointed. He already has judges he appointed. Are they going to really rule against the president who gave them the job? Those are some of the challenges African countries are going through right now. And we've seen the outcome of elections conducted under such situations. Of course, we don't even want to go far. Kenya's election, previous one in 2022, was still disputed because the electoral, you know, Kenya is not the right example, because Kenya is not the president who appoints judges, or it changed. It is a new constitution. It's done in a different way. But the influence of money playing politics to the extent that it can influence, the money can be spent to influence the outcome of an election, that's a weakness which is there. When you look into countries, other countries like, for example, even Nigeria or even Ghana, or even Uganda, it's a president who is still appointing the judges, still appointing the head of the electoral body, and that's already compromised in a way. Cannot really, it's not independent. So these weak institutions are not great, because you see, typical example is Gabon. They just went for election, and no observers, and in a very fast move, Ali Bongo has won for the third time. Yeah, and he was really ready to keep ruling. Yeah, were it not for the intervention of the military, which dismissed all these institutions, suspended them, and you know, were it not for that, he would still be in power. So, what do you think African countries need to do to end this, or improve, or even enhance their democratic space?
This is Colorful Radio.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. We've mentioned it. Elections have to be transparent. Elections have to be free and fair. People have to be involved in the electoral process. The ruling president or the ruling elite should not be allowed to head the transition program. We need an independent electoral commission, just as you have in Ghana, in Kenya. Can you imagine that the coupist in Mali, the man who planned the coup, is now the head of the electoral commission?
Wow.
Do the transition program. It's headed by himself.
Yeah.
You want to be the head of the electoral commission. So who do you think is going to be the next president? The next election will be like 9 months time, and well, I can be sure, very sure, that he will install himself as his president. So, to answer that question, elections should be well monitored. There should be independent electoral commission, which the president should select from independent people, who must monitor this election rigidly. And there's something you mentioned just now, the role of money. Money is a desideratum. Money is a factor, big factor in the election in Africa. Because people are poor, just give them some money and they vote whoever give the money. And after that, at La Vista, you don't see the politicians again for another 4 years, they're gone. And nothing's happening in the economic space, nothing happening in the political space. People look at in Nigeria, for example, you have vast majority of northerners, the north, the women, they don't even know what's happening because of illiteracy. So anybody that comes, give them some money, they vote for the person. Even there's underage voting too. We have many cases like that in Nigeria. So that's some of the things that should be done to restructure the electoral process. That the electoral process is very, very important. Otherwise, we won't be having this coup now. We have 8 family coups now within the last 3 months. So there should be transparent election where you have credible politicians coming to power to deliver the dividends of democracy. Because if people are not seeing what they voted for, if they're not seeing what they have, a vote in this country, in Britain here, is very important. Yeah, that vote you cast here, those old people, those pensioners, they vote you out. People vote, if they see anything, if they just see any stain in your character, they vote that person out. That is how it should be. So you need credible people to be in power. Why should somebody be in power for 42 years, 43 years? So it's because they have been muzzled, they have been disenfranchised, They have not been educated, no infrastructures. People are just in Nigeria, and what they believe there is God. People just talk of God. They put all their problems to God, as if God will come from heaven to help the situation. You have politicians who are running away with murder. They are running away with billions of naira. What is Omar Bongo doing with 39 properties all over the world?
Did you see the cash that was found in his house?
Three cartons of cash to be taken out of the country. A pulverized country.
And the citizens were dying of poverty, most of them.
You have luxury properties in Nice and Paris. Nobody's living there. I mean, it's appalling.
Manuel, there's a big concern in Africa with what they call coup belt. Coup belt is these countries that seem to be next to each other and coup is happening. And right now, as we are speaking, Sudan, we've seen two military wings fighting each other, and it's not stopped. So we don't know what's going to end up. There's no president to topple, but the military, two wings of the military, engaging in fighting. So what do you think about when you see all this? Should countries that have not had stable democracy worry? Because it seems to be, I mean, someone coined the phrase revolution there, and they seem to be like changing with a pill, you know. I say a pill because you see coup happen instead of people being fearful and scared and unhappy. You see citizens of that country cheering the soldiers.
Yes.
What do you make of this strange trend?
It's a strange trend. Maybe as a result of global issues. Now we have the war in Ukraine. We have cost of living is high. Cost of foodstuff is high. People are suffering. Common people are being traumatized. Well, the gap between the rich and the poor is getting wider. And the coup belt, if you look at the coup belt, it's a strange phenomenon. When you look at the map from Burkina Faso to Mali to the other Sahel region, now spreading to the south of Gabon. So there could be another coup belt in that area, except urgent steps is taken by the rulers to remedy the situation. Because anything can happen at any time, just as you have in the French Revolution, 1789 to 1804, when Louis XVI and his wife Antoinette were beheaded. Now, they never something like that will happen anytime. You may have a stable, like Gabon was, we can say stable politically for a long time. Now, suddenly there's a coup. Then we have other countries start getting jittery. And the kind of coup that may take place may be of a different brand, because they are all waking up now. It may be a palace coup, or there will be sudden violence. There will be sudden issues will just take place whereby either the president or whoever is in power is killed, and then people wake up. The AU, so-called Africa Union, is doing nothing about the whole situation. Africa Union is supposed to remedy the situation. The Africa Union, what have they done since this coup started?
Yeah, we'll come to those institutions. We'll come to the failure by institutions. But before that, you know, why I'm a bit more focused on this coup belt is because these countries have something that unite them. Most of these countries are former French colonies. And as you are aware, of course, these former French colonies have been paying what we call colonial tax. And this colonial tax amounting to US dollars 500 billion.
Yes.
And my immediately, which is crazy, you ask a question, you colonize a country and you want that country to pay colonial taxes.
Yes.
Specifically, the countries that have been paying these colonial taxes are Benin, Burkina Faso, Cote d'Ivoire, Guinea, Mali, Niger, Senegal, Togo, Cameroon, yes. Central African Republic, Chad, Congo, Equatorial Guinea, and Gabon. See, so is it, do you think when you specifically look at these countries right now, almost about six of them are former French colonies. Would you, when you look at them rebelling, when you see them top, the military toppling the leaders, who maybe they have deemed them as puppets of France, do you think it's a revolution? Does it amount to be called a revolution?
Yes, it's a revolution. French is paying back for the French Revolution of 1789. It's a revolution against the French. A colonial tax that was imposed before 1960, they are still paying it now. People are angry. You have want to borrow money from the Federal Reserve. You have to apply for your money, for your own money, to France, and you have to pay interest on it. And this tax has been on from up to more than 50, 60 years. Now, they are still paying the tax. So, I don't know whether people really know all these facts ever since. I think they're just growing up to it. But now, it's going to be a real big issue because many of these countries will want to end it. But how can they do that? France will come up with the fact that it's a debt which you have to pay. And you have to pay the interest. They've got this money for years and years and years. So they have to pay. France will not go easily like that. They will still have their stranglehold in these French West African countries. They still have the economic resources there to exploit. You have the uranium, you have the oil, you have the mineral resources and all those stuff. You have the debt. France will come out, they will pay the money. So how would that end? There's a revolution. Yes, there's a revolution. All these countries we name now, how would they cut off? They say they are cutting off. They are expelling the French ambassador from Niger. They are expelling in Mali. They expelled the French the army station there has to go. But is that the end of it? How are they going to stop it? Yes. You want to cut ties with France, but how would that be? France will come up with the fact that this is the money borrowed during the colonial era. Except maybe they will say, well, we're not going to pay the money. We're not going to borrow money from France.
Colorful radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Uranium is in the Niger Republic. Do you have the resources to mine it? Russia said they will triple the money to buy uranium. Other countries too are also interested in uranium in France. In the Niger Republic. So how are we going to... France said they are not going to go to war with Russia over the resources. So everything will depend on the people in these countries, how they can put an end to this coup, and so that this coup will not spread to other parts of Africa. Because we know very well people are watching, people are apprehensive. In many in Central Africa, you have Congo. Congo is there. You have Sudan. You have Cameroon. You have Kigali. Rwanda. Yeah, Rwanda. So Rwanda is doing very well. Well, this man is doing very well. If Britain is going to send migrants to Rwanda, that means the man is doing well. But this man is also a dictator.
But before we go to Rwanda, let's focus more on these countries. Emmanuel, the thing is that France ended colonization in these countries in Africa, but economic colonization still persists. See, the thing is, when you combine the population of these countries controlled by France, is a whole population of 174 million people. And then when you look into their GDP collectively, all these countries, is economists say is $196 billion combined. But then look at the debt they have to pay to France. $500 billion.
Jesus.
So when you look into the deficit there, then it explains the poverty in these countries. And of course, while that is happening, when they are paying all the resources in these countries, from your uranium to oil in Gabon, is siphoned out, is taken out. And therefore, it explains why these countries are people, the citizens are so upset. The citizens are cheering the coups when they happen. Because it's nothing to do with now democracy. It's a question of we want to see France leave.
Yes, yes.
These countries, we have seen them spectating Wagner, the Russian Wagner, which is so infamous in its operations, but they would rather that than French troops. I mean, what do you make of all this setup? Do you think if it's a revolution, is it going to succeed? Or will France maybe combine efforts with the Western brothers and sisters and now gang up against Russia in Africa?
Well, the revolution we're talking about, this African revolution now, just like we have in the Arab Spring. But whether it will succeed is the major thing. I just said it. It's not enough taking over, having a military coup, but being able to be now self-independent. Look at $500 billion being owed to France. Do you think France will forget about that money? The foreign reserve is still in France. France will react against that. Seize the foreign reserve, and where is the mechanism to end this dependency on France? Don't forget us, don't forget that other countries are waiting on the flanks. Russia is there, the Wagner Company is there, America is there, you have Britain, all need the resources in French West Africa. Now this is where it's going to get really hard. Now, France need all the resources available. If you take all those French recycling away from France, France is almost collapsed. They need uranium for the French industries, the power. And this is a country like the Niger Republic that has vast uranium resources, and they don't have power. Nigeria have to supply the Niger power supply, give the power supply. Now Nigeria has cut power supply, now they're in darkness. So what are they gaining from the France? Because they are asking themselves, what are we gaining from France if with all the resources we don't gain much? We are still paying debt of 60 years old to France. So what do we gain from it? But so what this issue is, what mechanism are they going to, what be the mechanism for total cutting of ties from France? That's not going to happen. Also, you already have French institutions, French language, French schools, French books for the children. And then wish me there's going to be a total revolution. You talk about the revolution. The French Revolution of 1789, it didn't last. It lasted for only 15 years. And when Napoleon came up, Napoleon destroyed all the tenets of the revolution. A revolution has to be total. A revolution has to be total restructuring of the economy, politically, socially, economic. Africa should be ready to restructure their economies, to restructure their social life or political economy. Otherwise, the revolution will not be successful. For example, Gabon. What happened in Gabon is a game of musical chairs. Same thing, same man who has been in the power, the same person taking over power. Will such a person institute any revolutionary change in the process of change is very difficult. People don't like a lot of change. People don't like change in the first place, although change is part of life. Change, those who institute this change must explain to the people why the change. Where are we changing to? Where are we heading to? What is the future of the political life for the people? What would be the future for them? They have to properly explain the process of change to the populace. Otherwise, it will come back to the same old story.
It's been argued by political analysts and experts that French mistakes have helped create Africa's cool belt. How far does that go? Is it true for this, for starters?
Yeah, but if you look at the trajectory of the coup, it's only in French West Africa now. It's only in French West Africa, Mali, Chad, Mali, Niger, Burkina Faso, Cote d'Ivoire. Now, this is a coup bet. If you look at the map, it's a coup bet going to Gabon. Now, France has helped it. France is helping it because when you create a system of assimilation within the French West Africa, the assimilation process is not helping now. I think they've got enough of France. But as I've just said, how will that play out? How are the African people going to take their future into their hands? What would be the future of these school leaders? These are left now. These are young boys, 34 years, 35. They are very young military officers. We don't have any business to do. The military's constitutional powers is to defend the country. But now they are coming to power now. They need to properly explain why they came to power and how they are going to institutionalize change in these countries. Otherwise, the coup will fail. And then they will be cut out. I think in Burkina Faso, two coups within a year or so, within 2 years. So we need to find out whether this coup will succeed or not. And if it don't succeed, then we're back to square one.
Well, lastly, what do you make of French's hold on the currencies of these countries? Of course, we've seen some countries coming together to form the ECO, to detach themselves from using the CFA from France.
Well, the ECO, some people, they don't like it, don't want to use it, some want it, but it depends on how, what would be the structures of the ECO. what it's very, very important for them to have a currency that is viable, backed by gold reserve, that is be useful for international trade. They should just don't jump into it. It's just like the BRICS. The BRIC, they are still working. It takes time to walk over it if they are going to get that currency done.
They're still struggling and making up their mind whether to embrace Chinese one or Russian one. Yeah. And they're like, if we do that, we are back to square one. We will have one currency dominate. They need just to come up with an international framework that allows each country to use their own currency.
Yes. So it's going to be a whole lot of time for them to formulate the policy for currency, something. If you come up with a new currency and it's not properly managed, if it collapse, there will be a general economic collapse.
It's true. Very true. Very true. Emmanuel, always pleasure to have you. That's all we have for now. To our listeners, stay tuned for more programs coming to you from Colorful Radio. But do have a wonderful, wonderful day. Emmanuel, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Hopefully there will be no more coup.
We pray. No more. It's not the best way.
Yes. Thank you very much.
The Africans say things happen for a reason.
Yes.
So we
want Africa in focus.
Kukuruku.
I cook beef. Kaboom entertainment. Sputnik Choco. Yeah, no. Vocal chameleon.
Cook beef.
Zing. Talk it to me and I like him. Shake a butt and I like him. Turn around and I like him. She bring it back and I like, oh no, no, talk it to me and I like him. Shake a butt and I like him.
Stop to the stand, yeah.